Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Na, 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff. Na, 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff.
3 o'clock on the dot, you know what that means. It's time for Matt Lanter and the King, yeah.
Na, 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff. Na, 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff.
Driving home Atlanta is a traffic jam. But we got Chuck and Chernoff on the fan.
Na, 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff. Na, 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff. You said we was going to go to the pros.
And that's us. Here we go in our 3 o'clock hour with Chuck and Chernoff. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the show, whether you listen just a little in the 2, maybe here in the 3, some of the 4, a little of the 5, or you're a 4-hour listener, we thank you. We're with you till 6 tonight, and then 680 Rewind before Braves programming, and then Braves Mariners tonight at 940. Now, you're going to listen to The Fan on FM at 93.7 and AM. I mean, I got an AM. And on the app tonight for Braves Mariners. You're going to wake up tomorrow morning with The Locker Room, 6 to 10. You're going to keep it locked to the Buck Belue Show, 10 to 11. And then Chiellini and Domino before us. All right, I got that out of the way. Good. The 3 o'clock hour of the show is presented by This Stuff Matters, helping you make the most out of what matters most. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast at thisstuffmatters.net. Let's start the 3 o'clock hour by saying hello to Charles.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Chuck.
You know what I did for the first time ever this weekend?
Tell me.
Smoke crack.
Tried to get you off that stuff. What happened?
Puff, puff, pass.
Is that what you do with the...
I'm sorry, crack.
Puff, puff, crack.
There you go. Whitney was right about it, though. Crack is whack. Apparently, Chuck didn't follow her advice. The Braves were losers 2-1 last night. I was not rewarded. My head should have not, been away from that pillow at 12:13 a.m. or whatever time it ended. Braves got walked off in the ninth inning. As I said, I was in and out. I slept through about 3 innings from the 3rd to the 6th. I woke up and I went, hey, there's dueling no-hitters. That was the thing that was going on last night. For Max Fried's sake, he was awesome. 6 innings, no hits, no runs, 2 walks, 7 Ks. He got to 100 pitches, and Snit said, you're out.
In front of a very appreciative Braves home crowd.
There were a lot of people. Seattle's
gosh.
That's happened the last 2 years they've been there. Ton of Braves fans showed up there. So on the other side, this Bryce Miller cat was bringing it.
They pitch.
Yeah.
They've Kirby, and we talked about him yesterday.
He was doing a great job. Braves didn't get a base runner until the walk for Travis d'Arnaud. Then in the 7th inning, they get the Ronnie single. He steals second. I love when he steals third when nobody's paying attention. So now he's at third. You get Ozzie.
Nah.
What are you doing?
He does the thing in front of his face.
Well, no, now they do this.
No, he did the in front.
You can't see me? John Cena?
He does that.
Okay.
He does that.
Well, he didn't see him because he stole third. Ozzie gets the double. And then you thought you needed the second run. You just knew, like, this 1-0 lead is just, it feels awful. So you get the runner stranded. You have the 1-0 lead. Pierce Johnson was filthy. 3 Ks. Awesome. Then Jimenez pitched into it out of a jam. And then this is where the Brave fan got angry. Why was Raisel Iglesias not in the game in the ninth? He pitched back-to-back days. Snit wasn't going to go three in a row. It's April, people. I know you want to win every game, and so do they. A.J. Minter has not been great in the ninth in his career. I saw the numbers this morning. The Mariners got a good pitch to hit.
Yep. Single bomb, over.
Garver hit the ball out. It happens. It sucks. It's miserable. Move on. Like, they're 19-8. The offense is dealing with three guys in the middle of the order who aren't hitting. It's all fine. Like, I could not get over the social media meltdowns.
And Ozzie is back, and that will get better. So that's something to look forward to. But the Mariners are...
Don't do a Mariners thing.
Never mind.
Please.
But, so Ozzie's back. I'll go back to the Braves. So yeah. Ozzie's back, and you're right. You had one mistake pitch the entire night, so I'm not going to be angry at the... This is not the pitching staff's fault. If you want to drill down on A.J. Minter, even that's not fair. It happens. He's a relief pitcher. They're good hitters on Seattle's team, too.
The other side of it is Acuna, Riley, and Olsen will get going. I know it feels like it's been forever. It's a 12 or 13-game thing. And again, last night they were 1 for 12, 7 strikeouts. And it's ugly when your three best offensive pieces look like that. The breakout is coming. Whether that's tonight or tomorrow, it will happen for all of them. They're just too good. And when that happens, somebody's going to have to pay. And I don't know if it's Luis Castillo tonight, or I don't know if it's when they get to L.A., somebody will pay, and those guys will get going. Now, the dueling no-hitters, I thought this was interesting, this note from Sarah Langs. Last night was only the seventh time both teams went hitless through six innings in the last 50 seasons of Major League Baseball. The last time it happened, 2021, between Minnesota and Milwaukee, Jose Berrios and Corbin Burns. The last time before that, 2014, Jake Peavy, Jacob deGrom went head-to-head. The last time before that, and this is the funniest, you ready? 2014, April 2nd, Aaron Harang for the Braves and Matt Garza for Milwaukee each pitched six no-hit innings. I have no recollection of that at all.
Yeah, Freddie took him out with the no-hitter.
Well, that's like last night.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I think Aaron Harang, I think it was a Friday night, and he had a no-hitter and Freddie yanked him.
What about Garza? What did Garza do?
I can't remember that. I wasn't angry at their manager. I was angry at our manager.
Well, you got to move on. You got to let that go.
I should have by now, you would think.
Before that, it was 2010 when the Cubs played the White Sox. Gavin Floyd and Ted Lilly did it. It happened in 1997 with Kevin Brown and William Van Landingham. What a great name, who pitched for Florida. And then the other time was 1980 when the Mets played the Cubs. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yankees played the White Sox. Rudy May and Steve Trout. That's how rare it was last night. Don't do a Steve Trout thing.
I was going to do a Rudy May thing. Yeah. I'm good with it.
Now, here's the number that has Braves fans all concerned, and which is going to bring me back to my conspiracy theory. The Braves have only hit three home runs in their last seven games. Dead ball. I'm really starting to believe in more and more. Like, they have cranked some balls. Barreled up, exit velo, like all of it stuff that last year they were getting out, and it's just not happening right now. I am really starting to wonder about the ball. I want somebody, can somebody check their balls? Like, I need to see answers.
It's a month into the season.
Braves are in the middle of the pack in home runs. That's not like them. So I want an investigation, a full investigation done.
It's not a small sample set.
Yeah. Tonight, Raylo gets the ball for the Braves. Ronaldo Lopez against Luis Castillo, which on paper looks like another pitching matchup. The Braves will try to avoid losing two games in a row for the first time this season. God, I hope it happens so social media, again, does not have a late-night meltdown. All right, let's get to the football. By no surprise, the Falcons picked up Kyle Pitts' fifth-year option. Affordable. He's a big part of it. There was never a decision to be made.
As cheapish.
It's $10 million.
Yeah.
So that's in the can. That's done. Meanwhile, the Falcons and their Michael Penix stuff, the national media is not moving on. Like, this continues to be a talking point that of all the stuff that happened in the draft, Caleb Williams isn't getting this kind of attention. The Drake May to the Patriots, whatever. This is the thing that people are just not letting go of.
Yeah, because the Chiefs didn't trade up and take Caleb Williams.
This is very
true. That's the reason we're talking about
that. But it's not it's not the Penix part of it. It's the Cousins Penix part.
Yes.
Right. So Adam Schefter was on the Pat McAfee show, and he was discussing why the Falcons didn't try to trade back because his intel told him they could have if they investigated.
They were at 8. They could have traded back to, at the very least, number 10, gotten something from the Jets, who had some interest in moving up in the draft. The Jets would have moved up. The Falcons could have moved back two slots, gotten an extra fourth-round pick at the very least from the New York Jets. They say somebody would have taken Michael Penix before 10. That wouldn't have happened. I'm just telling you, that wouldn't have happened.
And that's not Schefter supposing, folks. That's all of his intel. That's all the people he talks to. He's connected with every team. He is telling you nobody was taking Michael Penix before 10. Nobody was. So that feels like a missed opportunity if, in fact, the Jets and the Falcons had calls and talks about trades.
If, now I'm not trying to lead you down a trap because this is going to be a negative anyway, but if they would have moved to 10, picked up a fourth round pick and taken Penix there,
mm-hmm.
you'd be a little less flummoxed by this.
Well, I've talked about the process the whole time. The process would have made a little more sense.
Okay, a little more. Yeah. Here's where I get stuck. I don't think they would have valued the fourth round pick. Look what they did with the extra third rounder. They used it to trade up 8 spots for a guy they didn't have to. I dare say they may have traded back 8 spots and gotten Rook. Don't know that. It just takes one.
Row.
They did not value a third round pick. What, like, why am I supposed to be here angry that they didn't get access to a fourth round pick?
So you want the most capital you can work with. Whether you value it or not is an opinion of how you value it.
They're not responsible with it.
You're not wrong, potentially, but I still want the capital. It's ammunition. It's what I can work with. And this whole process has been what we've all complained about locally and nationally of their process. Schefter is not giving you just blowhard, like, here's what they should know. He's telling you this could have been there. It was on the table. The Jets wanted the move. They weren't taking a quarterback. The Falcons thought the Bears were going to take a quarterback. He thought somebody was going to trade up. Schefter's telling you nobody was trading into 9 to take Penix. So it's confusing. All right, let me play some Mina Kimes. Mina remains my favorite in the national media. She has been like a dog with a bone on this one, trying to make sense of the Falcons process from the beginning. And days later, she still can't come to grips with it.
The problem is you can't reconcile anything about this pick with the Kirk Cousins contract. They don't go together, right? The only way you can justify it is that they changed their mind or they fell so in love with the player. There's no logical process where you do that Kirk Cousins deal thinking you're going to take a quarterback now. It doesn't make sense.
So I think she's right, and we talked about this the other day. This is like when you're in love, do you know how many dumb things you do in life, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you skipped out of work one day. You made a bad decision with money. You did something. The Falcons fell so in love with the Michael Penix opportunity that the process took a backseat to what they were doing. We're taking them at 8. Nothing else matters. I can picture in the war room. I got the Jets online too, Terry. They want to talk about moving up. No, I don't want to hear the deal. Penix. Somebody else is calling. No. I think they boxed everything else out and were like, Penix, which it might turn out wonderfully for them, but it still doesn't make sense of the process.
No, it's incongruous because it's, like I said, each independent declaration is awesome, and it's what an NFL team is supposed to do. Not both of them. And I'll tell you, if you want to, the only example, people wanted to use the Packers thing.
It's a bad comp.
Go back and look at when Jimmy Johnson, this is ancient now, but he spent the first overall pick on Troy Aikman. Then they spent the first round pick in the supplemental draft on a guy named Steve Walsh. Yep. You know what they immediately did? Flipped him to New Orleans for like 3 high picks.
Yep, they used the ammunition they had. They used
and
the
so
capital.
That's where for 2 minutes my brain thought maybe they're going to flip. And then I saw Terry say, "We love Michael." And I was like, "No, they're not flipping him."
Nope. Now let's talk about the player, because I feel like in all this, the Penix, the player talk hasn't gotten a lot of attention because the process has dominated it all. Here's more from Mina Kimes on the evaluation of Penix, the way the Falcons viewed him versus the rest of the league.
Let's say you truly believe, you know, he's the second best quarterback in the draft and you have this opportunity to take him. And I have 2 objections to that. One, you're on an island if you believe that. I mean, you and I, we're not even talking about the player. First of all, the notion that other teams tried to take a Penix, trade up and take Penix, some of those, the ones that have been reported, I know are just not true. I'll just say that. But you know you're on an island there. So you, not only are you like, this is it insane from cap and roster construction, whatever, like your evaluation of the player is unique, which typically doesn't work out, by the way.
Oh my God, that scares me.
Normally you haven't figured out something that none of the other 31 did.
But
normally that's not it.
What Mina said is perfect. They viewed Penix as the number 2, and they might be right. We'll wait and see. But everybody else in their rankings of the quarterbacks, all 31 other teams went Caleb, Jaden, Drake, Gap, Penix, Nix, JJ. And the Falcons were like, no, Caleb, Penix. So again, they might be right, but they are on an island of how they viewed this from a scouting perspective. And for all of our sakes, let's hope they're right. But there's a chance they overvalued Michael so much that we all talk about the quarterbacks being overdrafted in a lot of cases. They did that.
If they were right about Kirk, we won't find out. That's
true.
They painted themselves into where they can only be right about 50% of their giant choices.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about it coming up. The NBA playoffs are still in the early stages. Like, we're just finishing up round one in some series. Boy, it didn't take long to talk about Kevin Durant leaving Phoenix. Shams Charania reports KD never felt comfortable with his role in Phoenix's offense alongside Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. Quote from Shams, those sources said Durant had persistent issues with the offense, feeling like he was being relegated to the corner far too often, not having proper play design built around him and his strengths of pick and rolls. So now the talk of KD leaving is already on the page. Zach Lowe on his podcast, and Zach's very good. Zach is one of the best NBA guys around. Started putting together all these potential teams that would be, could be, might be interested. And yes, Chuck, your Atlanta Hawks were mentioned. Not as a report, but as a potential.
So you can play for free?
A team to watch. Now, the package that Zach Lowe floated was DeJounte Murray. And I'll say DeJounte Murray. He says one of the guards. The Hawks aren't trading Trey, but whatever. DeJounte Murray, DeAndre Hunter, and whatever draft capital the Hawks have, and they don't have much. That's all gone to San Antonio in the DeJounte trade. So is this a pipe dream? Probably. But if you're Landry Fields, you better investigate this. And if you're the Hawks, I don't know what it would get you getting KD at 35. Maybe you're the 5 seed, but it would bring you back to relevance, not just around the league, in your own city where you're completely off the radar. They've done the impossible. Just 3 years ago, they made this fun, miraculous Eastern Finals run where we all say if Trey doesn't turn his ankle, who knows, to you're off the radar everywhere. You've got to at least investigate this as much you can and see if KD at 35, his price tag has come down, and if he even wants to play for you.
In the 5 times he's changed teams, I bet it has never been easier to acquire him. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that, but part of it has been until, like, any player of KD's stature until now, and it's just an age thing, and the fact that you're not bringing home championships because of you, he would choose where he'd go.
Of course.
Or he would deem acceptable if you made a suggestion, all right, I'll go play there, and he wouldn't have said yes to Atlanta. I think now he would.
Remember that, and that's a good point. A year ago, it came out that he wanted out of Brooklyn, and he picked Phoenix, and then they traded him to Phoenix. Yeah. So does he want to play with this guy Trey, and they're close? Is the word going back to the Oklahoma days? Does he want to? And the way Zach Lowe laid it out was really interesting. He's like, you start looking at the teams interested. He mentioned Orlando. Is KD at the end of his career wanting to go play in Kissimmee? I don't think so. The Knicks are always interesting. He mentioned a reunion in Golden State. I don't think his ego would allow him to go back.
That's part of it. Is why I think Atlanta would have a little bit of a chance. You're right, by the way. But 35, and he just got kind of blamed a little bit, or he was the one that the other two stars looked at and went, yeah, you're not in the cool club.
Because he's a weirdish guy, I don't think he'd go to Miami because LeBron's been there. He's already done that. So, like, Atlanta would be so off the beaten path that do I think it'll happen? No. But who knows with KD that – like, Trey and KD together could be fun.
Well, let's get some bots on Facebook and Twitter and, like, just start putting out love for KD. And
he'll read it.
Exactly. Okay. And so, what do you, like, call a bot farm?
This would be the most fun 5th seed in the NBA. They'd win, like, 46 games. We'd have KD. We'd have a chance to play in the playoffs, get some national TV. Hawks would be relevant for about a year or two. Then they'd go back to being themselves.
Get ready for Chuck and Chernoff's Worst Idea.
And another thing, tell KD we just got Kirk. We're the home of aging superstars. Atlanta, come here to play on your contract.
Love you, KD.
You'll send your worst idea answers to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed today. We got into this discussion off air yesterday about the worst in-office food choices to eat, specifically like in small spaces like our studio or in your cubicles or wherever you are in your office. So we wanted to know the in-office food choice that should be a fireable offense. And I think we all agreed we came up with the obvious, like, topics on this. Like, hard-boiled eggs is it's a disaster. It's a disaster. It's a bad idea. Like, nobody would go down that road. Anything fish-related seems very risky. The reheat, the small spaces, that feels like a dangerous way to go. So what would be the food choice in office that would be a fireable offense?
Okay, I'm going to go more group-oriented here. When whoever the person in charge of the office is going to order lunch for everybody and you do the pizza order, don't order the veggie pizza just because you think you have to have variety. Order pepperoni, order cheese. Mm-hmm. Don't order the veggie pizza because it comes with kale and spinach and black olives and all kinds of crap that literally not one person in the entire – which is why it's always the last pizza that people open and there's still all but one slice left.
Yeah, that's fair.
Don't get adventurous with the office pizza.
DT, what you got? What's the in-office food that would be a fireable offense?
Anything with too much curry seems to offend me.
Anything with curry at all should not be an in-office.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. Brian Gephardt?
Ribs. A little too elaborate. Too much. Too messy. Too much going on.
That's fair. Colin Madden.
All right, I got two. One time, Derek brought in hard-boiled eggs. Brian had shrimp pasta today.
Today you went shrimp pasta?
It was good.
Did you go microwave on that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on.
So, Derek, you actually brought in hard-boiled eggs to the office?
Well, I eat them in the morning almost every morning.
Yeah, not in here.
I don't usually bring them in.
Yeah, you did, though.
Well, I was late, maybe.
You're fired. There you go. You guys will send your answers to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. We will talk to our super agent, Hadley Engelhart, in less than 15 minutes. I'm curious what the sports agent community thought about the Falcons' bold draft decisions. We'll pick his brain about that and more. Plus, coming up, I'm curious if the Falcons know or even care that everyone has figured out their lackluster plan.
You don't care about winning games in Atlanta. You don't.
God, we should get Joy to town.
I apologize,
Joy. You don't care about
winning
no football games.
We'll talk about it next.
Don't play in my face.
Ah! I feel good.
2,864. Oh, wait, no, that was Buck and Kincaid. I'm sorry. I apologize. If you got it, good. If not, don't worry about it. Chuck and Chernoff are on the fan. We're with you until 6, and then you'll get 680 Rewind tonight. You want to be locking it in to 93.7 FM. 680 AM sun is shining, so we should be good on the AM side. And the 680 The Fan mobile app, where you can hear it anywhere, anytime. And you want to wake up tomorrow morning with all of those choices to hear the Locker Room 6 to 10 before the Buck Belue Show 10 to 11. And Shalini and Domino 11 to 2. Our 3 o'clock hour is presented by This Stuff Matters, helping you make the most out of what matters most. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast, at thisstuffmatters.net. Hadley Engelhart, our agent.
Who's the guest?
What?
Oh, who's the guest?
Perfect timing, impeccable. Hadley will join us coming up in about 5 minutes. I'm curious what the agent community had to say about the Falcons' bold move of Michael Penix. I just want to know what the text chain was like between some of these guys, so we'll talk to Hadley about that coming up. But first, Chuck, we're in the business right now over the last couple of days of playing the, did you hear what that guy or what that young lady said about the pick, about the Falcon pick? Because they have been the center of the sports universe since they made the decision to draft Michael Penix on Thursday night. It has been nonstop Falcons.
And I think that the authentic reaction from about 98% of people in the moment was, you've got to be kidding me. This makes no, and immediately, wasn't about Penix, it makes no sense given what they just did. By the next morning, some people had pivoted either upon reflection or, well, wait a minute, I'm with 98% of the people. I won't get noticed. For whatever reason, there were some outliers the next day.
But you remember before the draft, I told you, I started to get this weird feeling. I said, I think the Falcons are telling us they're okay with just kind of being pretty good. I said when they signed Cousins, my belief was they would go heavy free agent, big moves, bold, all those things. I thought they'd be in go-for-it mode, and that didn't happen. So when they made the Penix move, it solidified that they're okay with being better. We don't have to be great. We don't have to do things to try to really compete for a championship. We can be a little better, and the bar is so low for us, and it has been for so long, that if we are just a little better with Kirk, we win 9 games, somehow get to the playoffs with that, that'll calm our fans, and everybody will be chill, and it'll be a good time. They won't storm the castle. That'll buy us enough time to, then we turn it over to Penix, and like, again, we're not awful. We're just saying we don't need to be great. Now, that's the local perspective. I was wondering if the national folks had picked up on that as well. Take a listen to Nick Wright from FS1. He caught it very quickly.
Falcons are not trying to win the Super Bowl. They're trying to avoid being awful. This is the ultimate hedge against bottoming out. The ultimate hedge against either decision being a disaster. The ultimate hedge against ever having to deal with a Desmond Ridder situation again. Which is fine if your goal is win a bad division, maybe win a playoff game, and stay in the mix.
That's what they're doing. And the bar, again, is so low since 2018 that would be considered. I'm telling you folks right now, if they win 9 games and they go to the playoffs, win or lose a playoff game, the campaign in the offseason about what they accomplished and the progress, they will take victory laps in a way that a franchise hasn't taken victory laps for going 9-8. Ever, considering what they just invested in Cousins.
Finishing one game above 500 after drafting in the top 8 4 straight years.
And spending on the quarterback.
Spent $135 million, at least 100, maybe 135 on a quarterback. You're right. That's where I had gotten. We came in yesterday and I said, I thought the same thing. I thought Kirk was a flex. I thought that was a throttle up move. I thought, all right, and so 26, and I said this, 26 come what may. And I never got any confirmation. I never got any follow-up for it, you know? Give me the grilled cheese. I'm going to back it up with the wings. No, they never went there, mm-hmm. All right? It was literally just Kirk Cousins and nothing else. I gave him a receiver. Okay. And then you got to draft nine. You're thinking, well, okay, well, at least they're going to spend the elite asset here. And it was a complete curveball. So I got to the point where I thought their goal had been to really get good and hammer lock and take a step forward. And this is a turning point. I think being good is good enough.
Yeah, they're trying to walk both paths.
Yeah.
Well, the short term will be, well, it'll be a lot better, a little better. And then we'll figure out what happens around Penix. But I only wondered if the local like media and the local folks would figure it out. The national folks are onto it, too. Here's the other part of the hedge. There's a chance the Falcons are hedging that they don't have a first-round pick next year. If they feel like the book is about to be thrown at them in this tampering thing, well, now they can come back and flex again of, that's why we took the quarterback, folks. We had an inkling. Well, we cheated. We tampered. But we made sure we got the quarterback because we're not going to have one next year. The only other time they can flex on this is if Cousins gets hurt. And this is an awful flex. But because he's 35 and because quarterbacks get hurt, if Penix has to come in week four, they can say, this is why we took him. See, all y'all who doubted us, we took him because we wanted a supreme talent to be there to be able to back up Kirk Cousins. Truth of the matter is the Falcons don't control either of the punishment for the tampering or Kirk's health. Those are things that are out of your control. The biggest picture problem that we've all had with this stuff is take Penix. That's fine. But allocate those $100 million to LeJarius Sneed, Danielle Hunter, a safety, another wide receiver, more offensive line help, and build around it that way. That's fine. Or go big with Kirk. Like, instead of going big, they've just gone home. There's no go big or go home. They've just gone home with this scenario. This is the same franchise that has had four straight top 10 picks and used three of them on luxury items. A luxury item is constituted as you can't lean on this to help you win something of substance. But we're going to do it because we're locked up on the O-line. We're great there. We feel great at defensive front, and we have our quarterback. But the Falcons took a luxury item in Kyle Pitts, took a luxury item in Bijan, and took a luxury item in Michael Penix because he can't play for over 2 years, and they don't have any of that stuff locked up.
Bijan's a stud. Don't get me wrong on that, but I agree that he would be a luxury item because you had a 1,000-yard rookie. And you had, Arthur Smith was going to, he could quilt together a ground game. I promise you, he committed to it so damn much.
Imagine if you would have taken Jalen Carter over Bijan, which is the bricks and mortar move. Imagine if you would have evaluated Micah Parsons differently or Penei Sewell differently than Kyle. Those are not luxury items. Those are bricks and mortar things. But the Falcons have gone luxury three straight times. Here's one more message from, again, this is an interesting national perspective. Nick Wright's message to Falcon fans, which I think he's spot on.
There is a coherent thought process of we are going to be the biggest spenders in quarterback free agency and take the biggest leap in the quarterback draft. Those are in contradiction. It was shocking because what the Falcons told me is they value not being awful more than they value a chance of being great, which if I'm a Falcons fan is a bummer.
That is a bummer. Unless your bar as a Falcon fan and you've been beaten down so much that you're like, I'll take better. That's what a place to be if you have been beaten down so much that that's what your acceptable is. Okay. Like, I don't want to be awful anymore. I don't want to watch Desmond and Taylor, and I don't want to watch Mariota. I'll be okay with the fact that we're just a little better. We're more relevant. We're going to compete for a playoff spot. It'll be more real this year until you realize we can't win anything of substance, and that stinks.
Well, you had me from hello. He's an agent for the pros. Now he's on our show. Matt wanted some production. Here we go. It's you, Hadley, from Hello.
What a special day and a Tuesday appearance from our super agent to the stars, Hadley Engelhardt, who's kind enough to join us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Hadley, I am curious what the text chain might look like because my phone blew up Thursday night when the Falcons drafted Michael Penix and none of us saw it. What is the talk in the agent community of a move like that when it happens, when it's not on anybody's radar?
First of all, I was one of those texts.
You were.
Chain, I'm sure.
You were.
Guilty as charged. First of all, in our community, there was a lot going on between agents and agents. And with me, at least, I was talking to personnel people, general managers, assistant general managers, the fact that I'm based here in Atlanta, you know, did I have any further insight? But there was a lot of head scratching. I think the smoke has, you know, been alleviated and people people are now maybe understanding certain things, right or wrong, on why this pick happened. But yes, on Thursday night, there was a lot of commotion going on in the agent football world.
What if you were Kirk's agent, right? Because the Falcons called Kirk while they're on the clock, and it had to be a rushed call of, hey, bro, we just are about to announce we're taking Penix at 8. What do you think Kirk's reaction, and what was the conversation like with his agent? Because after the fact, they were pretty public of how upset they were.
Yeah, first of all, his agent, Mike McCartney, who's a longtime friend of mine, used to be on the other side of the ledger and was on the personnel side. So he's been there, and it's an odd phone call they had to make to him. Obviously, when they signed with the Falcons, putting the money aside, you know, the idea was he's the quarterback, no ifs, ands, or buts. And I still think that's the case. Let's not feel sorry for Kirk in the sense that the money he's made to date with Minnesota and what he's already guaranteed to make with Atlanta, things are going to be okay for him. I just think the optics are not the best. I think they could have told him, hey, listen, as we go into the draft, we're not looking to add a quarterback. However, if there's a quarterback that we feel could be your heir apparent and he's there at 8, we may look at that, just to give him some sort of heads up and then let him know, as we, obviously, as it was happening, that they were, in fact, picking Penix. But, I think, it's not good. It's not good that Mike McCartney said it was a last-minute phone call. So the PR and all this was not a great job by Atlanta as they went through this process.
Have you had a case? I'm sure you have. Ricky Pearsall, in the media, we may know stuff, but we're just lucky sometimes. But a lot of times we don't. We all thought Ricky Pearsall, second, third-round pick. Ricky Pearsall, it is the end of the first round, get the fifth year. They really valued him. Now he's a first-round pick. There's that scenario, which everybody looks at as a positive. And then there's the Falcons' second-round pick with Rook, who at 43, most people would have been surprised, 35, et cetera, a lot of surprise. But for the agent and the kid, talk about that experience where maybe y'all weren't expecting to be the 35th overall pick or the 31st in the case of Pearsall.
Yeah, I mean, Chuck, that happens all the time, obviously, right? You know, we do our research and we talk to enough people and we have an idea of a range. And in both these players' cases, you know, we're using the internet as our guide. And really, that's not the true guide that agents use. And it works for and against us because we educate our clients always that based upon talking to teams and general managers, here's where you're projected to go. They read differently on the internet and their families do, and they have different expectations. So not knowing the behind the scenes with either player, I can tell you firsthand with clients of ours that, you know, you have a better understanding talking to teams directly. And this may not have been a surprise at all to either a camp with regard to where they were projected, because it happens. And we all sit and play armchair quarterback, and you see these people grade the drafts. And, I was with people this weekend on Sunday, and they were asking my thoughts about the draft. And I always say the same thing every year. Talk to me in 3 years. Because at that point, that's when you get a true evaluation of how did this draft class for any team work out.
Now, you can't work in the media with that kind of attitude, mister. We need opinions now. No 3 years waiting.
Exactly.
Hadley Englehart, our agent to the stars with Chuck and Chernoff on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line.
All right. Bill Romanowski, if you haven't seen, he's in the news. Department of Justice says he and his wife owe $15.5 million in taxes. He's 58 years old. And I'm not trying to be flippant here. I have no idea. I can't imagine how many concussions he had in his career. If you're in Dutch to the government for whatever, $15 million, and you're 58, and you may have already kind of wound through your media opportunity, like what do you do if Bill Romanowski was your client at this point? He says, I'm busted. I'm at my bottom. I have, like, there has to be a career rehab that, like, you as an agent, you have helped facilitate that before as well, I'm sure.
We have, and not to this extreme. I mean, what we try to do is get in front of this. And so this wasn't a one-time, one-year issue with him. Obviously, this has been going on for 30-plus years, maybe. So it's something that we've had clients over the course of my career where they've run into situations, and you try to get in front of it and limit the damage and limit the PR, obviously, but limit the actual damage and put them on a payment plan, get them with the right financial people. In theory, you hope that no one ever runs down this road and has these problems, but it does happen. And to be this far back on taxes and be this senior in your life is not great. And it should have been addressed earlier, not knowing the specifics like you talked about, Chuck. But it's something that we, again, try to educate from day one. And even when that doesn't always work, we try to get in front of it so we limit the damage.
I saw an 800 number in a commercial. You can settle with the IRS, and maybe Bill will do that.
Yeah, I think he's beyond that.
So Hadley, talk me through the night of the draft comes. Your player gets drafted. He wakes up the next morning. Now I'm on an NFL roster. I want to go spend. I got the contracts coming. I know what the numbers are going to be. I'm going to go get a car. I'm going to go buy a house. Do I take out some loans? Do you tell me not to buy it? Like, what is the money situation when the contract's not signed, but I've been drafted?
Yeah, I mean, this is gets back to the same, you know, getting in front of it. You know, we educate our clients once they become a new client and they're entering that whole rookie phase before they're even drafted, talking about those expectations and talking about budgeting and making sure with the right financial people. And, you know, even though it becomes a reality once the draft happens, you still have to stay on course, understand that there's still a job to do, and, you know, put them on that plan along with their financial advisor. You know, you've got to go to rookie minicamp either this weekend or next weekend, and then, you know, come mid-May, you're there for the next 6 weeks with OTAs and veteran minicamps and all that kind of wonderful stuff that goes into it. So you try to be smart about it and not let people get out of control and obviously spend the money even before they get their money, because people don't realize these contracts aren't done yet, even though they're protected. Mm-hmm. And even if contracts aren't signed before they go to a rookie minicamp, all players will sign a letter of protection, which protects a player that if there's an injury between today and the time they sign their contract, they're protected with the numbers that they would have gotten otherwise as a drafted rookie. So
you don't have to give me names on this players. On this one, Tadley. You don't have to tell me a name. But have you had those clients that you?
Oh yeah, no, we've had clients that have come to us and want to spend and want to do 100%. It happens, but you know, and you've got to work with them and their financial advisors, and it does happen. Guys get new cars before they do get their contracts, and banks will give them money. And, you know, within reason, sometimes it's okay because they're doing it knowing they're getting $10 million, $6 million, $2 million, and they're buying a new car. That's within reason. So we work with them on that. But, you know, that's the exception more than the rule. Most of these guys, and now a lot of these guys come to us with cars through NIL. They already got car deals. So we're in a whole different world economically because of NIL that you know, these players come into the league with money that they never normally had.
I have to imagine they have it's easier now because when they get to you as a rookie previously, you had to educate them about things like taxes and agents' fees and union dues and all that, and they all get that in college now.
Well, they get – there's an education part in most colleges, not all colleges. But, again, a lot of these guys don't want to pay taxes yet. They feel like, oh, I'll do it next year with the money that I make next year. And, you know, they meet their new uncle, especially if they're a high draft choice, and they meet them your uncle very soon, and they realize Uncle Sam is there and there to stay, and you got to be good to him. Otherwise, you're in Bill Romanowski's position, and you don't want to be in that position.
Hadley, one last one for you. So the undrafted free agent part – that happens moments after the seventh round and Mr. Irrelevant. We always hear that you'd rather be undrafted than the seventh rounder because you have your choices. How crazy is that few minutes after the draft with calls and offers? And I'm sure teams have a list of players that they prioritize. So what's that hour or two after the draft like?
It's actually not the hour or two after. It's when the seventh round begins.
Okay.
It usually, the pandemonium really ends within 30 minutes after the draft. You've already agreed to terms pending the player doesn't get drafted. We had that happen with one of our clients this year. And, you know, when you have a player like this player in particular that was a draftable player by every scout and every team, he fell through the cracks. And we weren't sure he'd still go undrafted, but he did. So we had leverage that a lot of teams wanted him. So you're able to negotiate a nice signing bonus, more importantly, significant guaranteed money. And it's only a 3-year deal versus a 4-year deal. So you hit free agency 1 year earlier than a draft choice. So in our case, there's a lot of positives to it, but a lot of the crazy stuff happens even before the draft ends. And there's a lot going on, a lot of phone calls. And you've got to figure out which is not just the right opportunity financially, but which is the right opportunity to actually make the roster and make the rookie salary of close to $800,000.
The reason I bring it up, it's been reported that Kendall Milton, the Georgia running back, got a $25,000 bonus from the Eagles and $225,000 guaranteed for a total of $250,000 in guarantees from Philly. Second most in the undrafted market.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so I'm looking at it now, and those are accurate statements that they were given. And that those are, you know, that's on the higher end. But there are guys that have received more than him. And, you know, so it's that's one of the more quality. Anytime you get anything north of $130,000 to $250,000 in combined signing bonus and guaranteed, that is a great deal. What's more important is he going to make that 53-man roster? Is that the best opportunity for him? Otherwise, these guarantees are eaten up by the practice squad. So it's not like you get – if he makes the practice squad, it doesn't – he doesn't get the double dip.
Okay.
So, you know, people don't kind of tell you that. So the key is it the right opportunity for him to make the 53-man roster? If it is, then it's a great contract for him.
I love when I learn stuff. That's the best part of having Hadley on each and every week. Hadley Engelhardt, our agent to the stars. Great info, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
Okay.
Appreciate it very much. Hadley on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. All right, coming up, the surprise wasn't the Falcons were bashed yet again. The surprise was how long it took. Chuck will explain next. Chuck and Chernoff are in your ear and on the air. On the 680 The Fan mobile app, as Derek just pointed out, yes, it has a sleep timer, which can come in handy. But you want to leave it on so maybe you wake back up throughout the night. Like, I fell asleep on the couch last night, third inning, woke back up in the sixth. I don't know that if I set the timer, I'm probably not waking back up.
Well, you didn't miss a whole lot.
No, I didn't miss. There was no hits.
Innings, there were no hits.
Yeah, there was no hits.
There was a base runner, but then double play.
Yeah, I didn't see that. So, oh. Sixth inning, though, I was back. I was like, here we go. Scoreless game.
Let's go. You'll be back.
You'll get that again tonight. Braves and Mariners at 9:40 on the Fan. All season long, when the Braves hit a home run, which they're due tonight, right? There are a couple of them. You'll score an instant round trip or discount on a set of Goodyear or Cooper tires the next day only at Tire Discounters. Plus, you're going to get a free alignment and a free oil change with your tire purchase. The more home runs the Braves hit, the bigger the deals at Tire Discounters. Learn more at tirediscounters.com/Braves. So the surprise wasn't that the Falcons were bashed. That happens. And boy, they brought it on where it's easy to bash them through the years. Chuck was surprised how long it took.
Yeah, I was reading Yahoo Sports, among other draft reactions, and it was consistent. Just bafflement to, yeah, that was just flat out bad. In Yahoo, I saw the headlines, and I thought, I know where this is going. And it did. Headline, 5 biggest holes left after the NFL draft. And I was like, I'm going to open this article, and it's going to say, Atlanta Falcons pass rush. It was there, but it took all the way until second on the list, Matt, which blew me away that actually there was a sort of major outlet that thought that Dallas Cowboys and running back somehow was a bigger hole than Atlanta Falcons and pass rush.
It's solved now. They got Zeke back.
It has been a universal response. And again, a couple of outliers, but so many respected names who have no history of bashing Atlanta or the Falcons or even being overly provocative, just kind of learned insight. It is all the same reaction that it doesn't have to do anything to do with Michael Penix. It's the combination of transactions that you have capped your ability to be right on this. If you're right about Cousins, you're completely wrong about Penix for at least a couple of years. If you got Penix right, that means he's playing, which means one Cousins in the game. You've really capped your ability here, which means maybe you've capped the outcome at better than you were. And that kind of is it.
So you mentioned they were second in the biggest holes for edge?
Yes.
Group? Okay. So I'm looking at the Falcons listed outside linebackers right now and defensive ends. Right. This is quite a group. Zach Harrison, Brandon Dorlus, James Smith-Williams are listed as your DNs in that order. Your linebackers, Arnold Ebiketie, Ade Ogundunje, are listed as your outside linebackers on one side. The other side, Lorenzo Carter, Braylon Trice, D'Angelo Malone. that is still the worst edge group in the National Football League. Now, on paper, how can I say this? On paper, it's awful. Maybe in reality, it's not as awful, but you can't depend on rookies to do more than just be rotational players. That group is hideous. Hideous.
If you're under contract with the Dallas Cowboys and you're a running back, how bad must you feel? Like, if you're listening on the app right now, because the app will work in Dallas, right?
Yeah, it works everywhere.
So, yeah, you're listening and you realize, wait a minute, we're worse than that list of guys Matt just went over? Like, we're still the biggest hole in the NFL after that list? Yes, that was the only shock. It wasn't that they were on the list. It's that it took till second to get to the Falcons in the pass rush. Like, they're pretending, like, we're just going to look the other way.
Now, the Falcons,
that's what we're going to do.
They do see this list, right? Like, they've seen this list the whole offseason. I told you my fear what was going on.
What, the list of players they had under contract?
No, of the edges. My fear all along was that Raheem was going to try to replicate what happened in L.A. last year. And if you don't know, the Rams did a very good job with a bunch of unknowns and young guys, sort of getting to the middle of the pack defensively. They weren't great. They were okay enough, and they got to the playoffs. If they try to pull this off again, if this team goes 7-10 or 8-9 because the defense is so deficient, that's unforgivable. Like, it's not hard to foresee what could happen, and it's April. What could happen in September and October, December? And if you're looking at it and saying, well, they overachieved last year, yes and no. They started the breakdown as the year went along, and by breakdown, started giving up bigger plays and more points. The traditional numbers were much better than the DVOA, and they played nobody. Keep that in mind. So I'm going to trust Raheem and Terry that they're going to add to this, but I don't even know what you're going to add at this point that's going to make it much better. And yes, I feel bad for the Cowboys running back group.
Yeah, you've got to take that personally if you're them.
Who is their running back group? They just re-signed Zeke.
Pollard left. That's what I know.
Yeah, Pollard's like in Tennessee now.
Gamecock great. Rico.
Rico Dowdle? That's right. He was a draft pick of theirs.
He can't be the starter, right?
He played a lot towards the end of last year.
There's got to be somebody else on that list.
Yeah, they drafted him 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Hold on. Gephardt just said Deuce Vaughn. Little itty bitty Deuce, Rico Dowdle. Now I understand maybe why it's the worst group in the league. Holy cow. They went from Tony Pollard and Zeke 5 minutes ago, Zeke's back and old, to Rico Dowdle and Deuce Vaughn.
Just Dowdle.
Dowdle. And who was the third you mentioned?
Okay, so.
My God.
Deuce got offended, and Rico's like, dude, you looked at us? Come on.
I could fit
Matt's right.
I could fit Deuce Vaughn in my pocket. Like, Darren Sproles looks at Deuce, he's like, bruh, you got to get bigger.
Epicady's like, we way better than them.
There's the battle between their running back group and our edge group. Good. All right, coming up, UGA fans already knew the answer to this ridiculous question.
Sup, Doug?
That is a question.
Sup, Sarah Beth?
That's another question.
Sup, Shorts?
It's a lot of sups.
Sup, A-Dog?
It's a different question.
Sup.
But Georgia fans already knew the answer. But now everybody knows the answer, too. We'll share it with you next.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
Marketing is everywhere, from the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone. We are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility, and it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.